So you've had some good ideas. You've been welcomed and recognized for who you are, which is an expression of the divine. So now we're going to go next step and invite you to start to entertain some better ideas, some greater ideas, perhaps deeper ideas. And to do that, I'm bringing forward one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who studied this teaching, knows how to use it for themselves and on your behalf. They're licensed by our organization because they've demonstrated again and again their ability to utilize the power of spirit to make a change in the world. So every time we grow, we change individually, we make a change for the better throughout the whole oneness matrix that we're part of. So today we have a practitioner who I've been known for a long time. She and I were in classes together back in the dark ages when we were both young. Or maybe not so young, I don't know. But we were in ministerial class together. So I'm very thrilled that Judy is part of our community here and that she's coming forward now to share with you and then to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. So Judy Ady, thank you.
All right, good morning, welcome. It's nice to see everybody. Well, last night we had the winter solstice, right, which we continue to celebrate today. You know, the moment of the winter solstice last night was at 11:19, the moment when we experience kind of the longest night and the shortest day. As the earth passes through this point, we now begin to slowly increase in the light every day. So we just kind of honor that. And, you know, tonight, it's interesting, it also begins the first night of Hanukkah, that wonderful festival of lights. Some people celebrate that. And, of course, we're getting very close to Christmas, just a few days away. You know, in some ways, it feels like the city's getting quieter because a lot of people have left town to be with family in other places. But there's still an intensity in the air. You know, with shopping and people getting ready for the holidays, the traffic. I don't know if anyone else has felt that. But in my effort to not get caught up in that intensity, in the stressfulness of it, I wanted to share a special moment that I had. And I was speaking with one of our members after the service a couple Sundays ago, earlier this month, and he told me he hated the holidays. That it was a hard time of year for him, that he had lost his life partner around the holidays. This was a number of years ago, and that he'd had other hard things that happened this time of year. He didn't like the hype of the holidays, the stress of the shopping, all of that stuff. And I agreed. I said, yeah, you know, I really try not to get caught up in it. But, you know, he said one more thing. He said, even with all of that, even with it being a difficult time of year, that every year, he always said, there's always a moment. Somewhere in the holidays, there's a moment where he sees peace, he sees love, and he sees goodness. And I thought, that's right. Yes, we all have those moments. So let's look for those special moments during the holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. And, you know, I wanted to share with you a special moment that I had a couple weeks ago. It was a Sunday morning. I was going to be up here. I'd woken up really early. It was still dark outside. I was going to go to my Sunday meditation group that I sometimes go to. They start at 8 o'clock. So for me to get up and get ready and go to that and then come to this, I got to get up when it's still dark. And so I got ready, and before I had to go, I had to go out, and I have chickens. I have 6 chickens that live way out in my backyard, way in the back. I have a chicken coop and a little yard. I had to go out and give my chickens their food and water. And when I was going out through my backyard as I walked up to the coop, it was just barely getting light. It was really dark, but there was just a tiny bit of light. And there was just something in that moment that spoke to me in the peace of that, in the silence of that moment, in the sense of the plants in my yard being dormant for the winter. The hens were still sort of quiet because it was still dark, but there was just a peacefulness and a sense of oneness in that moment. So I did what I needed to take care of out there with the coop, and then I came back in. So look for those moments in the holidays. They're there. It just surprised me that that was my moment. So look for your moments, whatever they are, whatever holiday you celebrate, and celebrate that. And I wanted to share a poem with you today, and it's just because I really like this poem. And anyway, it's a Robert Frost poem. It's a very famous poem, but I love it this time of year. It's called Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds that sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep. All right. So I'm up here to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment, too. Affirmative prayer. And there was just one line today in our discussion that I want to just say from the textbook as we relax and become silent and aware of the oneness of this spirit. And here it is. In mental treatment or affirmative prayer, whatever you want to call it, we should feel as though the whole power of the universe were running through the words we speak. So, the whole power of the universe running through the words that we speak. So as we think of that, let's become quiet and allow ourselves to just take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths and know that the power of the universe is running through the words that we speak. And I just invite you to relax and to accept these words for yourself as I do this treatment in the first person. So here we go. I know that I am one with this beautiful power and presence of life, of love, of peace, of beauty, of joy, of opulent abundance, of goodness of every kind, that this presence and this power fills me. I embody it in every cell of my being. This morning, I take time to know my oneness, my complete embodiment of this spirit, of this goodness, of this wholeness in my life. And as I do this, I know that at the heart of me is divine perfection, is divine wholeness, is divine goodness. Is that spiritual spark that knows the truth of who I am. And this is first cause of my life. Knowing this wholeness, knowing this perfection, knowing this goodness at the heart of who I am, and trusting it, and believing it, and knowing it, that I know that as I do this, that this perfection, this wholeness, this goodness outpictures in my life as a life that is full of love, a life that is full of joy, a life that embodies a physical body that is full of energy and life and vitality and wholeness and health in every way. This divine spark outpictures in my life as divine prosperity, as opulence, as abundance. I know this for myself in every way. I know that as I am here today, that I hear the words that I need to hear, that I embrace new ideas, that this spirit of perfection and wholeness and goodness in me sparks within me new ways of looking at life, of new ways of looking at myself and believing in my life. I know that our center is a divine idea in the mind of God, that this center is fabulous, that this center is growing and expanding in goodness in every possible way. I turn away from any ideas of lack, limitation, struggle, strain, frustration, stress. I just turn away from all of it and know instead that the peace of love, the peace of this season, the peace and joy and goodness of life expresses through me now, through this center, through each person here, as love, as peace, as joy. I am grateful for this knowing. I release this now. I release these words now, knowing that the whole power of the universe is behind my words. So I'm grateful. I release this now, and so it is.
I need a minute to breathe. That song always sends me deeper in my awareness, deeper in my commitment, deeper in my knowing what the last part of it says, that, you know, everything I've done, everything I've ever been, everything we've ever, all of us have ever participated in, is what's brought us each to this moment right now. If you had changed one thing anywhere down the line, you may not even be sitting here, or you may be in a whole other place. So we can be thankful and grateful for all of that that's gone before, and be ready to dive in for something more, which is a lot about what today is about, what this whole weekend is about. So there's an invitation that Ernest Holmes has at the beginning of the Science of Mind textbook that's an invitation to all of us. The symbology is from times past. The images, the pictures, through the magic of television and TV, we all have had some experience of this kind of a setting. So let yourself be invited. And the invitation is not so much about being invited into the physical space as it is the internal space, the space of consciousness, the space of our own thoughts. Here's the invitation. Peace be unto thee, stranger. Enter. Be not afraid. Enter that place within you that is quiet, that is truthful, and that always speaks to you, and does so in a way that cuts through all the nonsense and all the jibber-jabber back and forth. I don't know about you, but I have that. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. What should I do? Where should I go? How should I think? What should I be? This is an invitation to go deeper. I have left the gate open, and you are welcome to my home. There is room in my house for all. I have swept the hearth and lit the fire. The room is warm and cheerful, and you will find comfort and rest within. The table is laid, and the fruits of life are spread before thee. Ah, the wine is here also. It sparkles in the light. I've set a chair for you by the fire, where the sunbeams dance through the shade. Sit and rest. Refresh your soul. Eat of the fruit. Drink of the wine. All is yours, and you're welcome. That's how Ernest opens the Science of Mind story, the Science of Mind teaching, the Science of Mind textbook. And I wanted to do that today, and I asked Patrick for that song, because this is a time of year leading up to the solstice where, for as long as human beings have been conscious, we have turn within at this time. We've spent this time looking inside. Remember, for most of human history, we didn't have lights at night. So when the sun went down, we went down. Or we had a fire in our tents, or we found some way to light things a little bit. But for the most part, we saw and experienced life by the light of the moon and by the light of the stars and by the quietness that nighttime brings in that kind of space. So for so many eons, at this time of year, we have gone quiet. We've participated in the world's activity of going quiet. And it appeared, especially to the very early people, that the light was dimming and getting less and less, and the nights were getting longer and the days were getting shorter, and they knew that you had to have light to survive. And it was looking like maybe this thing is going to keep going, and it's going to get darker and darker and darker. And so way back, before written word was held in the early days of humanity, we started devising symbols and methods to measure and pay attention to that light, to watch and know the exact moment when the light started to return. Because at that moment, everybody could breathe a sigh of relief. It's not going to keep getting darker. We're going to survive. We're going to make it because the light is beginning to return. And for us today, and this time, as you said, that happened last night at 11:19. That's when you read about all this stuff, you see the sun no longer goes further north or further south or whatever. The sun doesn't change a bit. One of the interesting things about what we're going through here is also very symbolic and metaphysical in that the sun stays put. I mean, except for flying through space, but it stays put. And we're bzz around it like little bees. And our planet, however, is warped. We have the axis of a planet that's not straight up in alignment with the sun. It's angled. So if you ever think of yourself as kind of being at an angle, it's because you live on a planet that's at an angle. So you're kind of already tuned into that from the very beginning. So as we're zooming around the sun, what happens is we start turning away from it. Isn't that interesting? We turn away from the light in the northern part of this globe. And as we get to this very moment where we have reached a point where we can't turn away any further, and we begin to, because of the angle, again, the earth doesn't wobble. Well, it does, but not about that. The whole thing is about how we are in juxtaposition and relationship with that beautiful sun. And so then we start to shift back in the northern hemisphere toward the sun, toward the light. The days begin to get longer, and people can breathe a sigh of relief, even though it's interesting that we get the winter comes after that, the harder winter, but we still move toward the light is increasing so we can get through the winter, however dark it may seem to be, or however difficult or cold it may be. You know, there are celebrations. They've been all over the world today, and this whole weekend, celebrating the return of light. Most major religions that have holidays at this time are grown out of that ancient idea that there is light returning to the world. Saturnalia, which is lined up with Christmas, which is lined up with Hanukkah starting right now, which is lined up with ancient Stonehenge practices that are now being rejuvenated, and people are having great parties, and there's a lot of drinking involved in that. I'm not sure that was original, but you know, they're making a good show of it, whatever it is. They're working hard. Yule in Sweden was a big was a pagan celebration. It was very big, where we get our Christmas trees and the Yule log and all of that celebration. And that came out a long time ago because of the birthing of light returning to the world. The Mayans have amazing temples built and designed to show, to demonstrate, and to recognize when the light returns. This morning at Chichen Itza, when the sun came up, assuming it was clear, And light, when the sun broke the horizon, it creates a serpent, beam of light that goes all the way down the pyramid. And you see it. They see it emerge at that point. And people gather before dawn, and you know, hundreds and thousands come together to see that moment when the sun, the serpent of the sun shows up. And all kinds of religious things are built around that. So this is a time where human beings have really built a lot into it about spirituality, about the nature of reality, about what is important and what matters. And we do it here in this country. We have all of our celebrations, and I'm a little bit with Judy. I love parts of it, and some of it I can just soon not get caught up in. It's interesting that in the Northern Hemisphere now, or in the Christmas holiday celebration, we put up more and more and more and more lights to make up for the dark, dark, darkness that's showing up. We just kind of laugh in the face of darkness and say, look at us, we're going to put a light on every house, on every corner, on every sill and beam and line, and make it big and bright and colorful. My family, we say the Christmas fairy kind of threw up here, didn't she? So whatever works, it gives us that sense of celebration, because it truly is a celebration that light is suddenly showing up again. Pretty amazing. See, one of the things about this is if you translate all of this into the inner light being the awareness of what life really is, the awareness of who we really are. Somewhere in all of that, we made the shift from seeing truth and reality and godness and spirituality as being on the outside, based on when the sun was shining, into the inside, based on when the sun is shining within us. When we recognize who we really are and we stand in that truth and who Spirit is and God is and what our place in the world is, the light shines more brightly. That's what we're about here, is supporting and reminding and bringing each of us again and again back to that awareness that the sun's not gone out, that it's not ever going to, but that instead, it is simply, we've just simply turned away from it slightly. We're wobbling on our axis. We're not quite in the same juxtaposition that we could be to have the full benefit of the light shining brightly upon us and within us to see a greater truth. We say all the time, you know, this is a teaching where we know who you are. You may be such and such a name and such a face, but what we know about you is that you're a divine being. You're a being that is an expression of that one thing called life, called love, called spirit. We know you to be that. We see you to be that. That's pretty bright light. You say, well, if I'm all that, how come? Anybody got that idea occasionally? How come this and that and the other keeps happening? How come I'm whatever? How come? How come I don't have as much money as I need to have? How come I don't have the relationships I think I should have? You know, if I'm all that. And what this teaching is about is answering that question. Not about why things don't happen, we don't have the prosperity, we don't have the health, or we don't have this or that, but rather to look, to turn away from that question to how do I express and experience even more? How do I embrace that light? How do I live that light? What are the techniques? What are the methods? How do I do it? I know that the earth is already set up. It's going to bring us back to the light in this side of the planet. But what about me? What do I have? And in some ways, it's just as automatic. But we'll get to that in a minute. See, because the truth is, the earth never turns away from the light. There is always the sun coming in and the same amount of light hitting the planet. In the summertime, there's a little less light, actually, because we are a little further away from the sun. In the wintertime, there's more light because we're closer to it. And yet, what makes those differences is whether you're on the top end of the planet or the bottom end of the planet. So it's not that there's less light. It's just not shining right here at this moment. Right now, they're burning up down south, way south, south of the equator. They're having summer. They're having the summer equinox. So as with us internally, we are never lacking for greater knowledge, greater truth, greater awareness. We just need to find ways to look at it more clearly and bring it in and welcome it and be part of the place where it's shining. Makes sense? You with me? Okay. So here's one thing Ernest Holmes says about how to do that. Oops, too many pages. So one of the ways to do that is we learn to control our thought. We talk a lot about thought. And when we talk about thought, we're talking about thoughts and feelings, all of it together. Ernest says this. We should learn to control our thought processes and bring them into line with reality. Duh, right? Thought should tend more toward an affirmative attitude of mind that is positive, stable, and above all else, toward a real unity with spirit that is already complete and perfect. The sun's already there. We just need to align ourselves with it. And we do that with our attitude of thought, by changing how we think at any given moment in time. That can be difficult sometimes if you're caught up in stuff. But if you can find a single way to break the pattern of being in that negative, downward, whatever, all it takes is a little crack in that door. When I do treatment work with people that are kind of new to the teaching, they're like, are you sure this works? And blah, blah, blah. Would you believe it's possible that it could possibly, maybe, perhaps work? That's all I need to break the pattern. Because then I know we can move past that and into something deeper and greater. All we have to do is listen, watch, feel, and turn on our attention to within here, because there is life always there. Anybody ever tried to hold your breath till you died? You can't. Your body won't let you. That life is pushing to constantly express itself, no matter what. My sister tried that once. It didn't work. Yeah. She was mad about something. Turned purple. Held her breath. It's really scary. There are even YouTube videos now for people who can hold their breath the longest. It's weird. Don't ask me how I know that. But think about it. Life is going to have its way, and it's going to live through you as you, and you cannot stop it. You can slow it down. You can dim it down. You can dumb it down. You can cover it up. But it's still going to have its way with you. You can't even get rid of this body and have it stop. It's just going to keep going anyway. I don't recommend that. But you can't. That's what Holmes is talking about. So why not, since we have this thing flowing through us, in us, that we're in, why not learn how to use it? We've been on that path of learning about it as long as human beings have been conscious. And now we have a whole new way. This teaching says probably the greatest thing we ever learned as human beings is that we can think. Once we learn we can think, then we can do something with that. And we begin to learn about that. So we don't have to just take what other people tell us. We can think for ourselves. And we must think for ourselves. We must bring this stuff forward and through and true. So, now that the darkness has stopped getting darker on this side of the planet, the guys down south are having the opposite experience now. You know, the light's starting to disappear for them. But for us, it hasn't. So it continues to grow. The interesting thing is, in reality, the whole Earth, seen as one thing, never loses anything. It's just, imagine if we had a straight axis in this planet. Think about it. It'd be boring. The variety of weather has everything to do with the axis being at an angle. Scientists don't know why that's true. They've all kinds of possible explanations, but nothing that's affirmative or can be confirmed. But it would be boring. Imagine if everybody in this room was just like you. Boring. Not that any one of you is boring, but by yourself, and it's the only one, the only thing you would be. Life is coming forward and bringing its light. So as we are moving out of the darkness now to the light, we start to embody, embrace, and wake up to what's next and how we do what's next and what the new ideas are that are popping in. And that idea that just keeps nudging and bugging you and you just maybe haven't done anything with it. The light shines and says, do something. Live it, think it, feel it, be it. Take a step. It's important. Part of what I love about the Robert Frost poem, and I really love that one, is, yeah, you got to stop in the woods. And yeah, you got to be quiet when the darkness is going within you to listen and listen past it. But you don't stay there. You go on to the rest of your day, and miles to go before I sleep, and lots to do before I sleep, and lots to be before I sleep. That's your opportunity and my opportunity. Because in the quiet of the woods, in the pre-solstice days, we have a chance to listen and awaken and clear and know more about ourselves. And now we get to see what we brought forward and exposed during that meditation time, or that time of quiet and that time of goodness. So I want to share one more piece of textbook with you here. Because as I said, and as we talked about, you don't always know why and what. We can claim and stand in faith of who we truly are, and yet things still show up that are the opposite. One of the things about light and shadow is that when you stand in your own light, if you're looking at the light, all you see is light. If you turn around, then you see your shadow. And there's a whole lot of talk nowadays about the shadow and studying it, and knowing what's going on and what's in the shadow, and okay, good. But here's Dr. Holmes' answer to that. And I'm going to take a little time with this one. For those of you who are textbook folks, this is on page 56. He says, so for those who are seeing that their life experience is not matching what they believe, especially when they believe themselves to be divine, he says, I am a center of the divine mind, a point of God-conscious life, life truth and action. I'm a center, a point of divine truth and action. My affairs are divinely guided and guarded into right action and into correct results. Everything I do or say or think is stimulated by the truth, by the light, by who I truly am, I'm adding. There is a power in this word that I speak because it is the truth. It is the because it is of the truth and it is the truth. There is perfect and continuous right action in my life and my affairs. All belief in wrong action is dispelled and made negative. This is earnest treating. Right action alone has power, and right action is power, and power is God, the living spirit almighty. This spirit animates everything I do, think, or say. Ideas come to me daily, and these ideas are divine ideas. They direct me and sustain me without effort. I am continuously directed. I am compelled to do the right thing at the right time, to say the right thing at the right time, to follow the right course at all times. Compelled. So if you're feeling compelled to something, you can trust. If you're doing this, if you're believing this, that maybe that's the right thing to do. All suggestions of age, poverty, limitation, or unhappiness is uprooted from my mind and cannot gain entrance to my thought. Phew, done. I am happy, well and fulfilled with perfect life. I live in the Spirit of truth and am conscious that the Spirit of truth lives in me. Not just I think it is, I'm conscious of it. That it's alive and well in me. I think of the Spirit of truth. My word is the law unto its own manifestation and will bring to me or cause me to be brought to its fulfillment. There's no unbelief, no doubt, no uncertainty. I know, and I know, and I know that I know. Let every thought of doubt vanish from my mind, that I may know the truth, and the truth may make me free. I'm here to say, along with Ernie, the light has returned, and the world around us, which is only a symbol for the real truth, which is the light always is present with you. And by choice, you can bring it back in a brighter way, in a bigger way than you've ever known it before. Because you see, you are the light of the world. You don't have to do something to become the light of the world. You don't have to believe something to become the light of the world. None of that. You are the light of the world. And you're wonderful. And so am I. So it is. Thank you. Thank you. So, as lights, as folks who know and have no lack, limitation, or withoutness in your lives in any way, shape, or form, I invite you to join all together as a community as we share together our givingness, our freedom, and our prosperity. Thank you for all that you have given already, all of you, this year. We're coming to the end of the year. We are ending the year better than we started the year and better than we were at the end of last year. So this is a good thing. And I am encouraging and inviting you to give according to your good feelings.